In case you're wondering, we're talking about war again this week, and we're continuing our series on spiritual warfare. And we're still looking at Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to pop your Bibles open with me to that passage there, we're going to peek at it again tonight and over the next few nights as we get together. As you guys are turning there, I just want to share a little Paul Wodka story because everybody loves a little bit of Paul Wodka. I had written down last week when I was studying for this week, I wrote down a little note on my desk with his name on it, and I have him in Sunday school, so he was all freaked out. He saw his name on my desk. He was like, "Rob, why is my name on your desk?" I was like, "Because I'm preaching about you, dude." He's like, "No." Sorry, Paul. But anyway, so Paul Wodka, back to him. Last year, he did this funny thing where Paul plays soccer, by the way, if you didn't know that. And I coach soccer for MICS, and we were practicing. And if Paul, just stand up. I always have to make you stand up. Go ahead, stand up real quick. Look at how big he is, all right? This is a big, strong dude, okay? Now, we saw him wrestle a little last week, or I think, right? Didn't you do a little? Okay. So I figured I'd be on a Paul streak. And I was out playing soccer with the guys in practice this one day. I was just out there chilling with him, and I think it was after the season. And we're just going along chilling. And I got the ball, and I'm schooling these guys. I'm just destroying them because I'm so good. So I'm going down. Just kidding. That's a joke. So I'm going down the field, right? And Paul, I see him murmuring a little to his colleagues on the other side of the field. I'm like, what are they doing over there? He's kind of doing a little whisper thing. Like, what's that about? And that's scary when a guy that big is looking at you going, you're like, what's going on? So anyway, I get the ball, I'm dribbling down, I'm thinking, oh, this is cool, I'm just going to go right down, pop around Paul, and score a goal. Well, little did I know, Paul had abandoned all soccer knowledge completely and totally and had reverted to his football skills as I was going down the field. And so instead of seeing Paul coming up trying to get the ball from me, I see Paul coming up flying through the air completely, form tackles me to the ground. I think I rolled like 6 times, didn't I, Paul? It was like destruction, it had nothing to do with soccer. And so here's the deal. If I wanted to take some volunteers tonight, who would volunteer to come up and let Paul do that to you tonight? Anybody? Any volunteer? Jordan would. Jordan, some of you guys would. How many of you would be like, no, I would run for the hills the second you asked me to do that? Because look at the dude. Look at how big he is. All right. He's like, don't call me. Yeah, it wasn't fun. I know from firsthand experience, it hurt. All right, Paul Wodka's a big dude. But what if, let's change the scenario, and you're not being tackled unaware of, you know, this huge dude pouncing on you. And instead, you're playing football, you're the quarterback, and you need Paul to stand in front of you and block for you. How many people would want Paul in front of you to protect you? Oh, story changed now, huh? Now everybody wants Paul. Yeah, send Paul this way. Listen, that'd be awesome to have Paul standing there because you know he'd do his job, right? You know that if somebody's going to come in and smack you to the ground, Paul's going to be right up there going, bring it. All right, he's not going to back down. He's a good player. Well, here's the deal. As we look at war and spiritual warfare in our own lives, it has to do a lot with the person in front of us. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with us. And so as we engage in war, and we're going to look at this passage tonight, the verse that we're going to read is not looking at us. As we try to battle sin and Satan, and we saw this video about making war, it's not how strong you are. And so as we go into this tonight, I want our heads to be straight and know that we're not talking about how big your spiritual walk is, how strong of a Christian you are, or what kind of great studies you can do or things you know about the Bible. This is about the one who's in front of you, the one who's guarding you and protecting you from the attack that's about to come. And we're going to see that tonight in this verse. So look with me if you're there now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Apostle Paul now, not this Paul, is saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, there's something really neat about this verse. First of all, I look at it and I'm like, how do I do that? Have you ever had people come up to you and tell you things that are sin and say, hey, don't do that? And you're just like, how am I supposed to just not do that? Or you're struggling with something, and the advice that they give you is just, hey, look, you should stay away from that sin because it's not good. And you're like, well, but I struggle with it. Like, how do I not? What's my plan of attack here? When I hear the Apostle Paul tell me, hey, be strong in the Lord, I'm like, well, okay, that's awesome. That's really good advice. I'm sure it's healthy, but how do I be strong in the Lord? Look at the next part of what he says. In the Lord, all right, and in the strength of his might. Twice he's saying this word in. all throughout the book of Ephesians, you know that the Apostle Paul talks about how as we believe in Jesus Christ, that we are now in Christ. This word "in" is really important in Paul's theology and what he teaches. Because when he talks to us about who we are now, our very identity and the people that we have become, he says, you are not yourself, you are now in Christ. And you're like, how does that work? How am I in Christ? What does that even mean? That means that he has given you a completely and totally new name. Remember we studied that last week? How we saw that, or a couple weeks ago? He's going to give you a brand new name as you believe in him. And you're like, well, why do I need a new name? Robbie is a great name. I don't need to change this. Everybody knows me now. Who would they call me then? They get me confused with other people and they call me the wrong name. And then it could be a disaster. You need a new name because you're not Robbie anymore. Christ comes down and he looks at us and says, hey, you're broken. There's no way you're ever going to be able to talk to this awesome, holy, pure God. You're never going to be good enough to do it. So guess what I have to do to your brokenness? You're totally broken. So I need to totally get rid of you. We need to get you completely gone and build something brand new. And we kept saying creation. What did I say? Creaturation. Creature, creation, either way. You're a brand new one and you're a totally new person. So Jesus says, all right, hey, since you're not Robbie anymore, why would I still call you Robbie? I'm going to give you a brand new name. I'm going to make you a brand new person because now you are in Christ. Now you are totally and completely something new. And that thing that you are now with this brand new name is a child of God. And you're represented by the blood of Christ and his power flows through you and in you and his strength is in you so that now you can live like Christ. So as we tap into this huge power source that is God, he gives us this power now because before we didn't have access to him. Remember, we're completely broken. Jesus says, I'm going to make you brand new. You're able to tap into the power of God and it flows through you and in you and he works through you. Wow, that's a lot of stuff going on. So Paul here says, hey, this is what you need to do if you're going to go out and fight this battle. I need you to be strong in the Lord, literally in the Lord. He needs to fill you. He needs to be in you and working through you. And I need you to be strong in the strength of his might. That it's not your power, Kyle, as you go out to live for Christ. It's the power of Christ being strong for you, standing in front of you, guarding you, protecting you like Paul Wadka would in football as these arrows are coming at you. Jesus is taking the hits as you're tapping into him. So let's dig into this as we look at the rest of this passage here. First question I want to ask us is, how strong is this strength? Just how strong is this strength of his might that we're talking about tonight? Look at 1 John 4:4. It says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you again, right, is greater than he who is in the world. I often get this question. People come in to talk to me and say, hey, look, Rob, I'm struggling with this thing. It's kicking my butt over and over. I try and I pray and ask God to forgive me. And the next second, I'm out doing the same thing. And I just can't get away from this temptation and this sin. And I keep falling. I'm about to give up. I'm about to say, forget it. There's no way I can beat this thing. And as I read this verse, man, this encouragement to us little children, because we are so weak. He says, you are from God. Remember, you're brand new. You're now a child of God. And have overcome them, the world. You've already done it. The war has been won for you. You're not on a losing team. The battle has been won. The whole war is done. And guess what? You're standing on the winning side. So why are we throwing our hands up in the air oh, I can never win this thing. I'm just going to surrender. Surrender? You already won. That'd be ridiculous. We're in a war with China, let's say. We're fighting away. All of a sudden we beat China and now we're raising our flags up and we do all this stuff. Yay, we're celebrating victory. And then we see you off to the side going, we'll never win. I give up. Forget it. And you're already raising a white flag and we're like, what? What are you doing? We already beat them. We're having a feast over here. We're chilling, just waving our little flags and stuff. Dragons going, why are you surrendering? I can almost hear that tone in this verse. We already won. We've overcome the world. And look, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. As you attack, as you wage war against sin in yourself and against Satan and all he wants to do to you, listen, The one who's in you is so much bigger. Look at Philippians 4:13. This is the most misquoted verse, I think, in the entire Bible. We looked at this when we studied Philippians, if you're around that long. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Who could tell me the correct way to read that verse? Okay, that's another way. Anyone else?
In context.
In context? So read it for us. Reword that for us. No, 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 no. Roberto, do you remember? Say it. All right, go ahead.
I can overcome all things.
I can overcome. I can withstand or resist all the stuff that's going to come at me through the one who literally gives me the strength to overcome. That's in that verse. It's not saying, hey, I could be Superman. Oh, I forgot to ask that. Some kid had Superman socks on with capes. Did you see it? They were so awesome.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. It just maybe Tim. Tim had them on. I was going to ask him where he got them. Sorry. Well, anyway, talking about Superman, this verse isn't saying that we have Superman socks on or that we're Superman and we can do anything that we want now because God strengthens us to like pick up mountains and fly and do all this craziness. God is powerful to do that, and there are other verses that say that he will do that. All things are possible, right, with God. But this verse is saying we can withstand all of the attacks, anything that's brought against us. Any temptation that comes at us, any attack that Satan tries to destroy your life through some sin so he can watch you miserable and destroyed and faithless, you have the power within you because of Christ to withstand that. So how dare we come to God and go, look, I just can't do it. I'm about to give up. I can't keep fighting sin. It beats me all the time. This addiction that I have is too strong. This temptation is just too tempting. God, I just can't do it. And he says, you already won. We've already won this. And the power for you to overcome that is already inside of you. Tap into it. Because it's much greater than anything on the outside. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of what?
Power.
I like that he continues on, he says, and love and self-control. It's not that mentality of I'm the most powerful, so do what I say. Ha 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 ha. Smack, and you hit little kids. No. This is the power that says he's given you power to resist sin and to look more like Christ through love and through self-control. You get that as you believe in Christ. If you've believed in him, that's who you become. That's your brand new identity in Jesus, and that's your new name. Timothy was this young pastor. He was dealing with his own doubts and fears, and he had all these things, his own issues he was dealing with at this time. And plus, God's like, hey, Paul, go tell Timothy, take over this church and start to lead this church. And now Timothy has this new church. He's a young pastor. He's trying to lead these people who are all just a whole bunch of problems, okay, like some of you guys. Just kidding. No, I'm serious. So he's got all this stuff going on, and Paul says, hey, look, don't give up. Timothy's at the point of like, I don't know what to do. Paul writes this letter, and this is a line from his letter to Timothy saying, hey, look, there's no reason for you to doubt this amazing power that is inside of you. It's not you. You might be willing to give up. God's so much stronger. He's the one doing the work. Trust him. That is the spirit that we've been given. And Ephesians 3:20, check that out. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work. What are those last two words?
Within us.
Where?
Within us.
Within us. Now I want you to close your eyes for a second. Imagine just the most powerful, amazing, awesome, cool, new thing you can possibly imagine. Go. Just imagine power. Just imagine awesomeness. Be creative and inventive in your own little brain. I know you guys can do it. Half of you are like, I have no idea what to think about. I don't know. What's awesome? If you're like me, it's like a big pepperoni pizza. Just like, that's awesome. Woo, so creative. Now check this out. It says, to him who is able, that's God, to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. We couldn't even begin to imagine how awesome this God is. We couldn't begin to ask him for even a fraction of all that he's capable of doing. And sometimes we put God in this little shell. And we almost think of him as just this little, and we come and we study from the Word, and then we read about him and pray in Sunday school, and that is our total experience and relationship with this amazing, unimaginable creator of everything, and our whole experience is wrapped up in this little teeny package. We can't even begin to imagine how incredible and powerful he is and all the things he is currently doing, and we can't even see it. And we think he's too small to help us through our problems. You can't even begin to fathom him. You couldn't even close your eyes and begin to imagine a fraction of who he is or what he's capable of. How dare we limit him? But then when we look at the way we're living, and the way we're just getting our butts kicked by sin because we think we don't have the power to handle it, you'd think that he is just this little teeny small God. But this is an incredible power, and guess what? Those last two words tell us that he's not just that big, he's that big inside of you if you believe in him. So if you're using the excuse right now with him, hey, I'm about to just give up. Sin's too, it's just too tempting. You're full of yourself. I hate to have to tell you that tonight. Because if that's our excuse, the Bible is so clear that he has the power to overcome it. We need to trust that. Ephesians 1, 19 to 21. Still looking at just how powerful this power is. Check these verses out. It says, and what is immeasurable, the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You have no room left to make excuses for sin after reading this verse. This is the most incredible power in the entire universe. And this passage should sound really familiar, because all throughout this entire book, we see Paul mentioning just how powerful Christ is. And the passage that we just read in Ephesians 6 actually names, look at the terms that he uses about, this isn't a war against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. And look, this is that list, pretty much. There is nothing in this war or in this battle that Christ is not bigger than and can't destroy. So why do we keep coming to God going, look, I just can't beat this sin? And it's like God's looking back going, because you haven't tapped into my power yet. It's so more than abundant for what you need. Your need's like this big. And he's got all the power. So then, I guess we come to this point here and say, what if I do feel weak? What if I'm looking at God and I'm like, look, the reality is I understand that. I know how big you are and you're supposed to do this. But what if I still feel weak in the face of sin? I just don't know how to beat this thing in my life, this addiction that is just destroying me. I can't beat it. What if I feel weak, God? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 9 and 10. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then, what does it say? I am strong. When we get to the point where we look up to God and go, I just can't anymore, and I'm pretty much at the point where Timothy was and say, I'm about to just give up. When we're that weak, that's good. That's an awesome spot for you to be in. Because as you recognize that you're weak, that's when God's the strongest. If he's going to do the work, he needs you out of the way. Remember we've been talking about how we're created to glorify God by what? Depending on him. And the more you depend on him, the stronger you are. That's this. Because in your weakness, when you're like, God, I just can't beat this thing, he's able to say, good, you've realized that, let me take control. All right? And for some reason, I keep thinking of Mrs. Chupka singing, Jesus, Take the Wheel. Anybody? Anybody? get out of my head. So when I feel weak, that's good. I want God to take control. So here's the deal then. I realize I'm weak. How do I get this strength? What do I do to get this strength and obey Paul when he says, hey, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? How do I do that? How do I get this strength that God's offering me here? Ephesians 6:11, this next verse in our passage, it says this. Put on the whole armor of God. I told you this series is going to be looking at the different pieces of armor that God has for us to wear. That is basically the Paul Wadka, the strength of Jesus Christ in front of us, taking all these arrows. There is an armor that God has prepared. There are things that he's prepared for us to do so that we can tap into him and grow in him. And as we do, we become stronger because of him and us. Look at, does anyone know who Oliver Cromwell is? Was? He's a person from history and war. Anyone know? Anyone know he's smarter than me? It sounds familiar? Some of you guys. Yes, okay. So, in war, okay, this guy says this. Good job, you guys are pretty smart. He says this, trust in God and keep your powder dry. Understand what he's talking about? What's this powder? Is it like, ooh, we need to keep my powder dry? Powder the pits, because war is tough. Is that what is he saying? What powder? Huh? Gunpowder. He's talking about gunpowder. So think about this for a second. This almost seems like a contradiction of, hey, trust God, but also pick up your guns and get ready to fight. Do you ever struggle with the balance between that? Like, how much do I need to just trust God and let him do it all? And how much am I supposed to do? And what's the balance there? Because if I'm doing it, I'm going to lose. I know that. But if I do nothing and just say, God, you do the whole thing, I'm being lazy and I'm just sitting back. And where's the balance in that? And what he's saying in this quote was just, hey, basically, God honors when you do things to obey him and glorify him and work and give all that you have for him. And as you live out the truths of his word in obedience, he takes that and blesses it. He's not telling you by saying, hey, it's all my strength, for you just to sit back and go, fine, you do it then. I'm just going to do nothing and sit here. I'll just go ahead and dabble in sin because you're going to take care of this anyway, so I can go sin. It's cool. God's saying, live for me in obedience, and I'm going to honor the work you've put into this. There was I just recently heard a story of this little boy who was at a boxing match with his dad. Anybody like boxing? Watch boxing in here? Not like... Anyway, whatever. Sure, some of you guys. I like boxing. There's this little boy. He's watching this boxing match with his dad, and they realize something. As the two boxers come out and go to their corners, there's something weird like that they're doing. And one goes to his corner, the other goes to the other. And this one guy goes up to his corner. He's getting ready for the match. So he's doing this weird thing with his shoes. He like rubs them in a weird way, like on the ropes. And he's like kicking them. He bounces around and he rubs them. And he like, you see him like tap his elbows. And then he like gets down and he does this thing, you know, the little cross thing. And he drops to his knees and goes like this. And he pops back up again and does it again. He starts rubbing his shoes, does this, taps his arms, you know, and he's like, does a little cross, drops it, and he looks up. And he does it and he just keeps going over and over and over as he's getting ready for this match. And he noticed the little boy's like, what is he doing? He's like, Dad, what is that? He's like, oh, that's how he gets ready. Makes him, you know, supposedly helps him fight. And when he does the match, it's like good luck for him or whatever. So the little boy's like, really? He's like, does it work? And his dad looks back and he's like, well, it does work if he knows how to punch, okay? Well, here's the deal. If he just goes out there and goes, hey, I did my little rosary cross thing. Go ahead, take one right here. What's going to happen to the dude? He's going to lose his jaw. Yeah, he's going to get knocked out. We're going to get on him and start beating him. So this guy's going to actually come out and do what? Swing. He's going to punch. He's going to fight. He's going to come out here and say, look, I'm going to fight this thing. We need to trust God. that Christ's power is strong in us as we live in obedience for Him. It can't be this deal where I just sit back and go, I really don't care. I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. I'm good with that. So you do the rest. Good luck. Let me be really, really honest with us. We sit in chairs, and I'm not speaking for all of you, but I'm speaking from experience. We sit in chairs, and we don't acknowledge what we need. We don't see how much we need Him. We don't see how lost we really are. We don't see how broken we still are. We're so distracted by friendships and by goofing off. We're so distracted by sports and by music and by just name it. We don't realize this stuff. And we're walking in the ring and we're go ahead, take a shot. And sin is just having a field day with us. Because we're in there with our hands behind our back. We don't even know it's swinging. I'm going to be real honest. Some of us need to repent. Some of us need to wake up and say, I'm in a ring. And this big old dude's coming at me ready to clean my clock. And I don't even notice it. I'm just like, go ahead, take a shot. We're called to war. We are called to fight. Because of the power of Christ in us, that gives us more reason to swing and to fight against the sin in us. Not just say, fine, I'm saved, I can do what I want. But I love my Christ so much who has died for me. His power is strong enough inside of me. I will battle this thing. Not because I'm strong enough, but because He has done this for me. We need to wake up and see that we're actually in a war. Well, what happens when I do get this strength? How should I look? How should this change me when I have the strength of the infinite, eternal, almighty God inside of me? What am I doing with it? Is it just in there for looks? Like, hey, look at my sweet light, you know, my God power. Like, what seriously are you doing with it? You have this amazing power inside of you, supposedly changing your life. Is it? Or are you exactly the same? Are you growing every day in your walk with Him? Because if this huge, amazing, awesome thing is in you, you should be affected by it. I mean, it should be searing your soul. It's that powerful. And instead, sometimes we just seem so numb to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We seem so numb because we're so caught up like these churches we looked at and what we want and what makes us happy and feel good that we don't have time to think about the battle and think about who we're fighting for. Because we're too caught up in us. I want to read you a verse, John 10:29. It says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands." Here's the awesome thing about your salvation and this power that's in you is that it's so strong that even when you're not trying, there's no way that you're going to be snatched from your God. This power is so strong in you that you have an assurance that says, hey, I am God's and I belong to Him and I've been given a new name and I am a child of the living God. That's an awesome assurance. You have a won war. The whole thing, it's won. That's a sweet place to be. But it's a dangerous place to be sometimes. Because we see this one war and we say, oh, sweet, we're done. Now I can just walk off the battle. The thing is, the battle is still raging, even though the war's won. How are you going to fight it? How are you going to participate in this thing? Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, and then 4 to 7. I'm going to read them to you so you can just listen. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Verse 4, "He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You see, you have this awesome protection and safety that you find in the God of creation who now claims you as his own. But that means you're also left with a choice. How will you fight the battles that remain? Will you fight to the fullest? Or will you be like those people who say, hey, it's already won, so I'm just going to ride it out. You ever been seen like those sports teams where, you know, to be a captain, you got to like work really hard the first couple weeks and be first in the sprints and be like the best at your sport and always be given like the most effort. And your coach is so impressed. He's like, you're a captain because you've done awesome. And after the 2 weeks, they're like, sweet, I'm already captain. I'm captain for the season. So now I'm just going to cruise. I'm going to be the last in. I'm going to goof around the whole time he's talking. I'm not going to like really work anymore because I already made it. I'm the captain of the team. Look at me. Captain badge right here, everybody. Who cares? Or do you see those guys who say, hey, I've been awarded this awesome privilege and honor. And now as captain, I know people are looking to me. I know I represent something bigger than just me now. I'm going to work even harder. I'm going to show the rest of the team how we should work and be a leader amongst my peers. And I'm going to use this awesome privilege to do bigger things than I could have before. We have a very similar situation as we look at our salvation and say, in this war, in this battlefield, I can either sit back and just goof off now and not live to the fullest for my Savior who died and gave everything for me. Or I can live to the absolute fullest and fight every battle with every ounce of strength I have because he's so worth it. And he did this for me. I really pray that we are that second group of people, that as a group, as a church, we say we want to lift one another up to do that, to say, let's fight this war together. Let's not give up. He's worth it. Will you pray with me? Father God, we love you and we thank you that you give us security in your strength. Christ, we don't deserve your power in us. We don't deserve this unimaginable power in us. But Christ, you chose to do it. Father, we love you and we just ask you to teach us to depend completely on you so that you're strong in our weakness. Help us to fight sin. Help us to wake up and take this seriously. Take our relationship with you seriously. Because in eternity, that is what matters. Right now, that is what matters. We lift all of this up to you because you're worthy. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.